Blog Talk Radio.
Well, there's a massive snowstorm that's occurred in the Northeast, and yet even after that storm goes away, there's still going to be snowflakes out there. Snowflakes, the new term for liberal activists that melt and fall down and cry at the drop of a hat. Got a little story on those guys today, and great name for it. We've got a great show, a lot of different topics today. What's going on with Obamacare, the wiretapping investigation, Mike Savage's bully beatdown, and some local stories, and a few more things that'll sure to capture your attention. Now, here's a little bit on the liberal snowflake meltdown at 607 16th day March and 523-1450 to call in. Colin, feel free to call in about your snowflake experiences.
Ashley Beckford and Leanne McAdoo. And we've got news to cover. We're going to talk about all of the executive orders that were signed today by Donald Trump. Really unbelievable.
Well, actually, I've got to cue this one up, but let me play for you what really brought this up, and then we can talk about snowflakes, the definition. This is a CEO giving a job applicant a snowflake test. Check this out.
Liberal snowflakes. So you young activists, you champions of character, you eighth place trophy holders, until you realize that this is earned by this, then you will never be able to actually survive in the working world.
That video is getting nearly 5 million views, inundating the company with resumes from college students wanting to work there.
But if you want a job, you'll have to pass the boss's snowflake survey. Joining us right now, the CEO of Silent Partner Marketing, Kyle Reyes. Kyle, welcome.
Thank you.
Good marketing.
Yeah. Yes.
What prompted you to put that up?
You know, after we had that video come out, we had hundreds and hundreds of applicants, good, bad, ugly. We had people who didn't even know what our company does, all wanting to work for us. And I needed a filter to sort through all of that.
What's the point? Why do you feel it's important to have the snowflake survey?
You know, I wanted to be able to have individuals work for my company who would sort of fit the culture, not just the culture of our company, but the culture of our clients, too. And we needed to have people who aren't snowflakes.
All right. We want the best.
So let's take a look at some of the questions, and folks, play along at home. First question to an applicant would be, what does America mean to you? What's a good answer?
Well, America, we're in a very divided time right now. And ever since the election cycle, people are split and no longer having conversations, rational, realistic conversations. So I want to understand how people are able to make an opinion and stand by that.
So what answer would disqualify them from a job?
An answer where you don't know the difference between there, and there from a spelling purpose, and someone who's not proud to be an American.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
The next one is, what does privilege mean to you? What are you looking for there?
I'm looking for people who are not entitled, who don't have this sense that they should just be handed things, but people who have that entrepreneurial mindset, who are willing to think outside the box and who are willing to work for everything that they have.
All right, now this is the hardest one. When was the last time you cried and why? What's a good answer that gets me hired there?
You know, I want people who have a sense of community, who have a sense of heart, who aren't afraid to wear their hearts on their sleeves, but who are able to actually, again, make an argument and stand by
that. What have people said when they answer that?
Oh, we've had everything from I cried the day after the election, tears of joy, to people who talk about parents who have passed on, who are no longer with us.
What about I put my family fortune on the Falcons in the Super Bowl?
Then you're not going to have any pity for me whatsoever.
What if I don't cry? Some of these macho guys.
Exactly. You know, if they're transparent and they're honest about it, then I'm okay with that, as long as, again, they've got proper grammar, proper spelling, and they can tell us why.
What if I cry every day?
Then I'm okay with that, but I'm not going to give you a safe space at our company.
What about this question? How do you feel about the police?
So we're in the middle of a campaign to donate $500,000 worth of services to police and first responders. We work very, very closely with a lot of police departments. And so you need to be comfortable and willing to support the men and women who serve and protect.
And have you asked that question of anybody and they have not been supportive of the police?
I don't think they would take our test.
Okay.
And then how you feel about guns?
We do a lot of work filming with guns. I carry, a lot of our team and our clients carry as well. We have very hardcore American companies, and so you've got to be comfortable around them.
If you're not, you're not hired.
Adios.
How many openings do you have right now?
We've got 21 people on the team right now. We're looking to increase that by 50% over the next 60 days and double that in the next 6 months.
So if people want to apply, where do they go?
SilentPartnerMarketing.com or follow me on Facebook.
Have you heard from other employers wanting to adapt something like this?
Oh my God. I've had people offering significant amounts of money for us to design a test for them, which isn't what we do, but we've had people sending presents. Somebody sent a snowblower,
a snowflake.
Yeah, a priest from Vegas sent cutouts of snowflakes and said, good for you guys.
A priest.
What about those naysayers that are watching? Is this is totally legal? You can discriminate
totally
based on...
Well, you know, we're really not discriminating because, again, I want to see how people are able to make their perspective heard and to stand by that.
Okay.
Very good.
Let's take a break, and I got to come back for a definition of snowflakes for you that I just got to make sure that it doesn't have any foul language in it, which is my main concern when I'm looking through clips, especially comedy, is there's just amazing how my definition or my measurement of whether somebody's funny is whether they can make people laugh without cursing. 612 Kelly O'Connelly, M. Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450, and got our little text machine with us, 805-6180. Got 27 texts in one day. I was impressed the day that it wasn't with me. We'll be right back. Okay, so a snowflake is a person who gets aggrieved, who gets offended at Donald Trump, for example, or, I mean, you know, at guns. A person who doesn't believe in the First Amendment, an individual who thinks that if there is a disagreement between their group, their leftist group of people, that with somebody on the right or libertarian or non-liberal, that person should be shut up. So here's a little bit from Tommy Lahren.
Time for final thoughts. Let's talk about snowflakes. What does it mean to be a snowflake? Well, I'll use my final thoughts tonight to make it crystal clear. If you spend more time occupying Wall Street than you do occupying a shower or a job, you might be a snowflake. If the term white Christmas sounds racist to you, you might be a snowflake. If you believe illegal immigrants should be able to get driver's licenses, in-state tuition, and Obamacare, you might be a snowflake. If Trump 2016 sidewalk chalk caused you emotional distress before or after the election, you might be a snowflake. If you think someone else, like taxpayers, should pay for your college tuition or your student loans, you might be a snowflake. By that same token, if you think by virtue of you attending college, you should get a high-paying job with flexible hours and a month of vacation and the ability to wear your sweatpants, your see-through leggings to work, you might be a snowflake. If you graduate with a degree in women's studies or philosophy and you think it's unfair you can't find a job, you might be a snowflake. If a man opening the door for you somehow offends you, you might be a snowflake. If you feel paying back your own loans is an unfair punishment, you might be a snowflake. If you feel CEOs should make the same paycheck as their secretaries, you might be a snowflake. If border security seems racist to you, you might be a snowflake. If others not wanting unvetted Syrian refugees / ISIS sleeper cells in their backyard offends your politically correct lifestyle, you might be a snowflake. If the term radical Muslim is a forbidden description in your vocabulary, you might be a snowflake. If you think taxpayers should pay for your abortion and not doing so is limiting your lady rights, you might be a snowflake. If you think you should be let off the hook for illegally selling drugs, you might be a snowflake. If you think the nation's horrible history of slavery somehow gives you a pass to resist arrest or assault an officer, you might be a snowflake. If you kneel for the anthem because of your perceived oppression, but also don't feel the need to vote, you might be a snowflake. If Donald Trump's tweets bother you more than the four Americans we lost in Benghazi, classified information shared on a private server, Saudi bot influence at the State Department, or paid violence at Trump rallies, you might be a snowflake. If you believe Trump won the election because the same country that elected Barack Obama twice has experienced a sudden overwhelming surge of racism, you might be a snowflake. If you think Hillary lost the election just because she is a woman and not because she's a scandal.
All right. You get the idea here. She's going to go on for another minute. Now, here's a guy, and I think he's got an Irish accent. I'd have to listen to him a little bit more. He certainly has red hair. Talking about the Genesis, he drops a few, he says hell a couple of times. So, but this is pretty good. It's got some yelling and screaming. You know, when I was growing up, you just weren't allowed to throw a tantrum. You couldn't do it. I mean, if you did it, you got in a lot of trouble. I remember one time I kicked a door and I got sent to actually, I was trying to get into the cafeteria and the dean didn't hold the door for me and it locked behind him and he walked off and I kicked the door and he came back and I got in a lot of trouble. But, you know, we've got to get a grip, I think would be a good way to put it. Here is where did Generation Special Snowflake come from? SJWs, Social Justice Warriors. I want to throw something out here to you that I read in Tom Wolfe, the writer, the guy that wrote Bonfire of the Vanities, who's written all these great books, really fantastic critic. And I don't know if he's a Christian guy, but he's a Southern conservative and a great writer. And he said that the political correctness is about getting upset for other people. And then I was reading another article. Psychologists have determined that the reason people get into the political correctness movement to a large extent is for cachet, for status, to build up their bona fides, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, check this guy out. This guy's name is Computing Forever, which I certainly hope is not his given name, but here we go.
Growing up, throwing tantrums didn't get you anywhere, and they sure as hell weren't tolerated. But nowadays, throwing an apoplectic seizure and behaving like a self-entitled brat is considered a legitimate form of political protest.
Oh, no. Oh, we should start. Yeah. Oh, no.
Sir, please,
you need some
sir.
Help.
Sir,
you
please.
Need some help.
Sir,
please. Stop the Trump! Stop the Trump!
This girl that's screaming right here, this girl is the famous one that threw the fit at Yale demanding a safe space, and she screamed in front of a proctor, basically a professor who is involved in the lives of these undergrads, and absolutely screamed in his face for minutes. He just stood there and took it. I guess he's progressive.
So where the hell did this infantilized, easily triggered, narcissistic, whiny, neurotic, special snowflake generation come from? Why has our society pandered to these overgrown adult babies? Why are they so unreasonable? How do they get so sanctimonious and intolerant of differing opinions? Why is reality such a problem for them? Why do they need safe spaces and trigger warnings? Well, the last question is probably pretty easy to explain. Nowadays, if you claim to be a victim of some kind of perceived, invisible, fictitious oppression, you can get special treatment and privileges. Just tell people you're an oppressed minority or that you're standing up for an oppressed minority, and the system and the populace at large are either willfully or subconsciously biased against you or the minority group you're advocating for, and then conclude by saying that someone else's differing views to yours are dangerous to you or said minority group in some way. And before you know it, your voice will be the only one that's allowed a platform. Everyone else's right to speak will be taken from them through censorship or prosecution. So ultimately, these kids know how to manipulate social media, government, academic institutions to gain power by claiming oppression. They are power hungry. But don't think they licked this ability off the stones. Oh no, they learned this from years of playing their parents off of each other to get their own way when they were children. With both.
All right, so that's pretty entertaining. I just think it is a power to not allow people to affect your emotions, to dictate to you how you're going to feel, how you're going to react. And a person who is a master of circumstances does not allow the circumstances to dominate him or her, right? So anyway, the snowflakes are out there. And so I think a lot of these people that are at the upper echelons that are fighting Trump are adult snowflakes. They may not fall down and throw a tantrum, but they will write endless articles about, I mean, on any particular day, you could go into the media, into the blogosphere, or to some place like Drudge or Real Clear Politics, whatever, and pick up the titles of some of this stuff in which some person who spent their entire life getting trained to be a journalist or a writer, an intellectual, someone who is trying to inform and shape the opinions of other people across their community, across the United States, across the globe. And in my opinion, they just flush it down the toilet because they come across as they have a article that's so biased. It's just a conclusion. It's not even necessarily really an argument. And so I'm kind of wondering what's happening to the country and what the long-term effects are going to be if if media just degenerates into propaganda, which is appears to what it's happened, and people will tell you that it's that happened years ago in the mainstream media, but they don't even try to hide it anymore, which to me is kind of a new level or whatever. But it just makes me wonder, are we ever going to be able to get back to a media that has the ability to inform? I mean, in theory, a person who's a journalist has a little bit, in a perfect world, a journalist has a little bit of modesty and says, I'm not going to politic through my job. I'm going to find out what the facts are and deliver them in such a way that people will be informed and then can take it without a slant and decide what the facts mean, what conclusions should be drawn. And that just seems to be beyond most of these people now. And I think it's there must be a tremendous pleasure in doing that. But I mean, it's kind of self-defeating, isn't it? Well, I've got some local news for you, so let me put this on, and I've got a lot of other stuff to cover here. This is from one of my favorite albums, Dire Straits, Making Movies. Kelly O'Connell, 6:28 on the 16th day of March, and I hope you're doing well this morning. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll be back in just a moment. Local news.
A love struck Romeo, sing the streets of Serenade, laying everybody low with a love song that he made. Finding the streetlight, steps out of the shade, says something like, you and me, baby, how about it?
Okay, so the talk show host Mike Savage was beaten. He was at a restaurant, and somebody came up to him and started saying, Wiener, Wiener, Wiener. And Mike Savage's real name is Michael Wiener, which, I understand, didn't want to use that as his, But so he got into this fight, and what ended up happening, I think, is that the police were called, and both men had tried to arrest one another. And I'm looking for a good clip on this, but man, there's so many clips on the guy, I can't really find it. But there is a story here, and let me just open it up for you. So anyway. I think it would be a more enjoyable country, a more enjoyable society, if there wasn't all of this advocacy. If people could just be let alone with their thoughts and beliefs and everything, there's this ceaseless effort by the left to more than any religion that I've seen, there is this incredible effort to convert people into what they believe. And it is, I think it's really poisoning, society and all this stuff against Trump. What is the logical conclusion? If a Trump is attacked, if Trump is what they're trying to establish, you remember how, Sarah Palin was attacked until she became just an object of ridicule, and even people on the right would shake their heads when her name came up. That's a beef that I have with people who call themselves conservatives. You don't defend your own. You're so fast to try to show liberal people that you're open-minded, that you eat, you cannibalize your own. Anyway, pro-Trump radio. Hold on a second here. For some bizarre reason, this page just committed suicide and crashed on me. one second here. Pro-Trump radio host Michael Savage claims he was assaulted while having dinner with his toy poodle, Teddy. Savage, 74, says he was having dinner in Tiburon, California with his 12-year-old pooch when a man began taunting him, saying, "Wiener, wiener." Heck, the heckler was apparently referring to Savage's legal name, Michael Allen Wiener. The man then allegedly knocked Savage to the ground and punched another diner who tried to intervene. Both men had placed each other under citizen's arrest, but police let them go. Last month, Savage had an hour-long meeting over dessert with Trump, which concluded with the president declaring, "I wouldn't be president without this man." So that's terrible. It was absolutely terrible. So I don't know if you recall, I used to write these articles on the weekend. I did this like Sunday column for Canada Free Press out of Toronto. And the lady that owns that, she used to work for Michael Savage, and she said that I think for 4 years they did his website and everything. Her boyfriend Brian did it, and her name's Judy. And anyway, I said, "Well, you know, what's he like?" And she said, "You know, he's kind of nuts." I said, "Well, what do you mean he's nuts?" And she said, "You know, he's obviously very smart, but she said he was the kind of guy. He was very kind of dramatic, and you know, I guess maybe a little self-pitying, you know, or self-fixated." But she would say he would do something like, if he invited you to come out and visit with him, come out and help him. I guess he was always asking for help. If she had flown from Toronto to San Francisco to meet with him, she said, "I would have no idea if he would ever meet with me because he was so impulsive and everything." So anyway, he is a brilliant guy to listen to, and a very, very smart guy. He used to hang around the people in the Beat movement, which is Jack Kerouac and people like that. He didn't hang around Kerouac, but I think he hung around Allen Ginsberg, who was the kind of one of the big characters in this movement, and had written a poem called Howl, and which is kind of a fantastic thing to read. All right, let's take a little break here, and I gotta kind of reboot my machine. So 6:38, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces. We'll be right back. And don't forget, I'm on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio, one word, Kelly O'Connell. We'll be right back. 6:38, AM Las Cruces, 523-1450 and 805-61802 text. All right, so just looking at something about Colin Kaepernick, you know, the quarterback from the San Francisco 49ers, and who had been spectacularly successful when he had first come into the league and had gone to the, I think the league championship, not the Super Bowl, but anyway, he's the guy that was kneeling down instead of standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, the opening ceremony. And so he was protesting because of shortcomings that basically sympathizing with Black Lives Matter and saying that America is racist, and until America is more fair or becomes fair, non-racial, he will kneel. Well, he decided to opt out of his contract in the 49ers, and now he is saying that he's not going to kneel anymore, which I find, I mean, it's pathetic, really. His girlfriend, though, he's not been signed by anybody. And I think he was raised by, I think he's half black, you know, and he was put up for adoption. I think his parents are white, you know, that he was raised in a white household. I find it interesting when these people like Obama or Kaepernick get into this, you know, black nationalism or whatever, especially when they come out of a white background. But anyway, his girlfriend, and kind of leading up to this here, his girlfriend is named Nessa Diab, and she is from, I think her family is from Egypt, and very attractive young lady and a DJ and everything, but she is Muslim, and they feel like that I think she was dating one of his teammates and he ended up with her, but she has had an inordinate influence over him. And so basically, I mean, this guy, he doesn't have an offer, and I think he's out of the league, and I think it would be kind of ironic. But anyway, they said he's become sympathetic to ISIS and everything, but I guess be careful who you date. All right, so shifting gears here a little bit, I wanted to get into something. All right, I got a story from National Review, and the story is on the complexity of what it's going to take to remove and replace Obamacare. So there is this fight within the Republicans for a more conservative versus more liberal replacement. Now here's the thing, and this is one of the issues that people need to remember about this. What we're fighting about right now is whether Obamacare is going. I mean, Obamacare can't make it because it's not fiscally sound. So I did just throw this out here for you to think about. The question that comes to mind for me is along the lines of Cloward Piven. Did Obama design that? He designed this. The law was passed so it would go into effect, basically really go into effect even after he was out of office, but it would kind of be phased in over the years. Did they know that it was going to be financially unsound? I mean, I would assume they lied about whether you could keep your doctor. They must have known that as a business model, it couldn't work. So what I'm wondering is, and I would tend to think that designed to be financially unworkable so that you could then roll it into one payer, which would be, I mean, government health care. And that would take 1/6 of the economy. It would take the most important issue in many people's lives, health care. and it would turn it into a government function. So people would have to basically depend directly on the government for health care. Now, if Hillary came in, they were not going to throw out Obamacare. They were going to do something else. They were going to amend it or whatever it was. Fix it in a way that beefed up the state, gave the state more powers and everything. So, but where we're at now, Trump comes in. It's unsustainable. It was sold off lies. It's become extraordinarily expensive and becomes more expensive each year, each quarter, really. And the services that it offers are limited. So anyway, so here's from National Review. Conservatives anxious to repeal Obamacare, but it must be a true repeal. So I'm getting back to this fight between Ryan and the more conservative, the Tea Party wing or whatever you want to call them, the Freedom Party wing. It's got to be a conservative fix, I believe, for not for ideological reasons, but for financial reasons. It's got to be put on a firm standing. There has to be a development of an Obamacare replacement that can stand on its own. So, you know, the problem with socialism in an economic sense is you don't know how to price anything because you've taken out the competition from the marketplace. So you don't know what it costs to produce things. And so this is like the great era of socialism. And that's why it's not workable. So you need to bring back into the market competition, and through the competition, a monopoly, a person who has a monopoly, a company has a monopoly, can charge any amount they want if it's a necessary thing. So you don't want monopolies because the public is abused through that, and there's no innovation. There's no motivation to innovate and to adapt and everything. So you want what we need to do is bring back these healthcare companies into every market and have at least some competition. So then you find out what it costs to create and deliver these things. All right. So anyway, the debate over the repeal and replacement of Obamacare has been hard for many on the right to understand because the concept of a repeal, a term with a straightforward meaning that is isolated from replace, can lose its clear meaning when the two are joined together. So when we talk about repealing, we understand it's a cancellation, but just a cancellation. They want a replacement so people don't experience a loss of health care, catastrophic loss of health care. Obamacare touched on so many aspects of health policy, aspects any reform effort would inevitably need to address, although in a different manner, that evaluating any one element of the law in isolation from the others is extremely difficult. Which aspects are central and which ones are on the outskirts is not easy to answer. That difficulty is compounded by the lack of an agreement within the Republicans on what the replacement would be. So it is a very interesting time, and this is going to be a true test of Trump's leadership. Sound Obamacare replacement ideas in the minds of some may double down on Obamacare's worst features, according to other people. A further complication is introduced by the way that the reforms are carried out. And so I'm just looking to pick some stuff out of here. We'll take a little break here and I'll finish up this article. I think it's worthwhile to consider this stuff to understand why it's not just that nobody had a plan. It's just the replacement. It's like battlefield surgery, to use a health metaphor. It's like battlefield brain surgery, you know. 650 Kelly O'Connell, AM Les Cruz, AM 1450, 523, 1450, and 805-618-02 text. We'll be right back.
The movie song. When are you going to realize it was just that the time was wrong? Juliet.
All right, so I'm getting through this article, and it's very complicated. Just to read the article is complicated. I mean, it's pages and pages, but let me sum this up here by saying that what they're saying in this article is it's basically impossible to completely eliminate Obamacare, to cancel it and redo it in the form that it's in right now. So instead, what they're trying to do is it's basically a tweak of Obamacare. So you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to read this over the break so I can understand the article better. I thought I could just kind of skim over it, but it's too complicated. Well, we'll come back to that in just after a break on the hour. Let me see what I want to get into. I was told something interesting. The gay evangelist, Bill McCamley. Somebody told me this off the record that he is not just unpopular to the opposition, the Republicans, but his own party supposedly hates his guts and can't. And so everything, all his bills that he comes up with dies supposedly. There's a story that came out that I think is indicative of the kind of a person he is. And I talked to an eyewitness that was there, that there was this fight over getting rid of these city councilors. And the business community had kind of risen up and demanded better representation, everything. So where we were doing the recall, people were going around and getting signatures. So McCamley pulls up, apparently at his own house, a house that he owns that he rents out, and he sees that someone is up at the front at the door. So he walks up and talks to the people that are there, and it's a person that's canvassing for signatures for the recall. And so basically his renter, I wasn't there, and I don't know. I've heard the story a couple of times. This is just the basic outline of what happened, that supposedly his renter, that he was upset with his renter, but he was really upset. And I don't know if he was really upset at the renter, but I know that he was upset at there was this girl that was bringing this petition around. And so basically, and this girl, I think, leaves, I undoubtedly sensing the drama in the air. She starts to walk down the street, and McCamley gets mad and starts chasing after her. And she is scared out of her wits. And so, I mean, you know, chases her down the street, yelling at her, kind of a thing. And the people that were bringing around these canvassers went and talked to her, and she's, you know, just totally in tears and everything, and just scared out of her mind. She was, and I'd first heard the story, I heard that she was a black girl, but it turns out she was Native American from Alaska and had been up in Alaska and had been present when her little sister was shot and killed. And so they sent her away so that she could kind of rehabilitate. And so anyway, kind of a bizarre story. I can try to find the lady that told me the story to get her to come on maybe tomorrow to talk about it. But I just thought it was a dreadful, very bizarre and very indicative of this guy, how nuts he is. But a person who was telling me about this is like, what's the purpose of having someone in office to represent you if everybody hates him and doesn't want to work with him and doesn't want to support his bills? So I'd ask him on the show, but I have a feeling that he would never come on here again. I just remember having him on the show to talk about the gay marriage thing before he went down and demanded from Lynn Ellens that we have gay marriage in the county. And I ask him, what's the best argument for gay marriage? And he says, he turns to me and looks at me, gives me this beady eye. There's no good argument against it. And I'm thinking, God, this guy's a fanatic, you know? Anyway, we'll take a break here. And I got a lot of stories on the second half, a lot of topics for you. So 805-6180 for your text and 523-1450 to call in. And we'll be back. 6:59 on the button. Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces.
Come up on different streets. They're both the streets of shame. Both dirty, both mean. Yes, and the dream was just the same. And I dream your dream for you, and now your dream is real. How can you look at me as if I was just another one of your deals? When you can fall for chains of silver, you can fall for chains of gold, you can fall for pretty strangers, and the promises they hold. You promised me everything. You promised me looking in you. Now you say, oh, Romeo, yeah. You know, I used to have a scene with him. Oh, yeah.
Well, all right. Today is Thursday, and of course, the Rossin Report is here. Ben's here, and so we're going to get into that. Ben, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Kelly, how are you this morning?
Good. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So you heard the story about the evil Bill, the homosexual apostle McCamley, the Swami of Salami, the Shah of Sodom. And the Pied Piper of perversity. So, does it matter if people like you in politics?
Oh boy, Kelly, that's a can of worms you're trying to get me into, but I appreciate the way you phrased that question. And I think it does. You know, one of the reasons that I've been able to have some success on the county commission, is because I'm able to work with people across the aisle. I'm able to work with people because they see that I'm paying attention to bills and am interested in what's going on and work hard at it. And so I do think that by having a good rapport with your colleagues, you're able to get some things accomplished.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, hopefully he'll mend his evil ways. But what's going on in the county commission?
Well, you know, Kelly, probably the biggest thing going on at the county right now is the consideration of the fireworks ordinance. On Tuesday of last week, or excuse me, of earlier this week, the county commission passed a measure to reconsider the fireworks ordinance or to consider some amendments at an April 11th meeting. Kelly, the way the county works is you have to have two readings of a bill. So we have an ordinance that was brought up by John Vasquez, and then we'll vote on whether or not to publish it and then come back and vote on the actual ordinance at a later point in time. And so that's what we did on Tuesday. We voted 4-1 to go ahead and publish, and then we'll have, I'm sure, a very significant discussion on April 11th at the county commission meeting.
What do you predict? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, you know, Kelly, that's kind of interesting because when I first became a commissioner, I would have said, hey, let's get rid of the safe and sane ordinance right away. I would have thrown the whole thing out. After watching the meetings from 2005 in the city, 2007 in the county, and hearing from constituents that feel strongly about that, I may be not quite there anymore. This change would be a very small change. It allows specialty retailers that are along I-10 to sell fireworks to out-of-county residents, to sell aerial and ground audible fireworks to out-of-county residents. So really, when you start looking through that, that's Bowling's Travel Center out on I-10 headed towards Deming, and it would allow them to sell fireworks to people that have an ID that show that they live out of county. So I think it's a pretty small change. I don't think it will end up, don't think there will be more fireworks inside the city of Las Cruces, which would be a concern to many of my constituents.
So have you become more libertarian or less libertarian as time has gone by, or could you rate that?
You know, I suppose on that issue, Kelly, maybe I'm becoming a little bit less libertarian.
I'm not suggesting you're a libertarian per se, but a libertarian is a person who believes in maximum freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that everybody's an adult, and it's up to you to make sure that you're doing stuff that's safe. And I was just curious.
Yeah, you know, I think there's been some valid arguments that are made about aerial fireworks that are shot off within the city limits that come down on neighbors' property. And, you know, I think that's a little different than at the county. We're dealing with the county. You know, if someone shoots off fireworks in Santa Teresa or someone shoots off fireworks up in Rincon, it doesn't have the same danger as it would have in a crowded community. So I think there may be some valid arguments for a crowded community. I'm at least considering that. But when we're talking about the county, I don't see that as much of a concern, Kelly.
Okay, so what else is going on?
That's the big thing going on. You know, Kelly, as a commissioner, we sit on many different committees. I've got a hearing today at MRVDA, the Mesilla Valley Regional Dispatch Authority, the 911 center that I'll be having today. And so, you know, there's a lot of different things that we do as commissioners that aren't always in the spotlight, in the limelight, and it takes a lot of work to serve. Of course, we've got the city elections coming up, so anyone considering running for a city seat, now's a good time to be doing that. I think they've got 3 seats that'll be up for re-election. And then next year, we go back into a county cycle where I will be up for re-election, as well as all of the state representatives and state senators. And also, Billy Garrett's seat will be a vacant seat at that point, so we'll have a new commissioner there.
Some people claim it's already a vacant seat, but I'm not saying it is. So anyway, well, what are we with the new commission? What do we have to look forward to?
Well, you know, Kelly, I think what we saw on Tuesday was commissioners that very much wanted to be seen as a pro-business pro-business commission. You had Commissioner Vasquez introduced this ordinance. He talked about how it would create 3 jobs in Doñana County, and for those 3 people that got jobs, that would be a life-changing decision. And so that was one of the reasons that he brought that up. You heard from Isabella Solis how she wanted to support business and change commission to being more business friendly. So I think that you've got a very different commission than we had last year, and that's encouraging to me.
All right. So, we've talked about this before, but in terms of goals with the new commission, what are some of the things you'd like to see happen?
Well, you know, Kelly, earlier in January, I introduced a resolution for a very small gross receipts tax decrease. It would have been 1/8 of 1%. It would have amounted to about $20 a person over the course of a year. So it's not like residents would have seen a whole lot of money. It would have cost the county, I shouldn't say it that way because it's the taxpayers' money anyway, but the county would receive $4 million less dollars from the taxpayers. But, you know, I think it would be a good direction to go, Kelly, and show that that we are listening to people. It's been every time the commission considers taxes, it's always increasing them. And so I'd like to see that one come back up, and we'll see if I can get that back on the agenda in the next couple months.
All right. How's the business outlook? How is it?
You know, it's we're seeing gross receipts tax revenue increase. So there's more business activity in the both in the city and in the county. What we're seeing within the municipal limits is about a 5% increase over last year. And in the county, in the unincorporated county, we're seeing a 9% increase. So we are starting to see some more things taking place in both the county and the city limits. And I think that's encouraging for all of us.
How's business at Rawson's Builder Supply?
Well, Kelly, we had a great sale last weekend. Appreciate your help in getting that word out. You know, it was a really good opportunity for us to get rid of stuff that we've been accumulated for something was misordered or anything like that. So that's been good. Tuesday and Wednesday, we set up a new display of lighting. So we've got some new light fixtures that are set up. So if anyone's considering lighting, faucets, fans, that type of thing, come in and see us at Rawson Builder Supply.
What do you think of the economy right now? How does it look? Because they're talking about the possibility. We've had 8 years of basically an underperforming economy, but they're talking about the possibility we could go into a recession now because of the business cycle. What do you think?
You know, Kelly, I know there was some consideration of raising the interest rate. I don't know if that happened or
it
if that
did.
Announced. It did. Okay.
Went up a quarter.
Yeah, so I think that you see from nationally and a belief that it's going to continue to increase. The question is, Doñana County and Las Cruces have never quite followed that trend. You know, we've got Santa Teresa that's just doing great for us. That's been a real bright spot for the entire state. But the city of Las Cruces has not seen the same type of growth that other communities have seen.
Why?
I think it's because of local politics, Kelly. I think it's got a city council and a county commission that still have not taken action to make the community a business-friendly community. And so I think we're seeing the results of that.
If somebody came up to you, as we've heard talked about a number of times, if someone who was a politician who was in office and came up to you and said, Ben, I need you to buy into this idea, this is a no-growth area, what would you say to him?
That would be a non-starter for me, Kelly. You know, if you're a community that's not growing, you're a community that's dying.
Yeah.
So you've got to decide which one you want to be. But I think we need to be a community that's growing and continuing to give employment opportunities to our young people that are graduating from high school and college and looking for somewhere to be.
You know, it's tragic. These people that are saying this are not unemployed and looking for work, you know?
Well, and Kelly, I think a lot of them, too, are retirees that have moved here and liked what they had, and they don't want to see it change. You know, it's kind of the same thing you see in development. When a new development goes in and the last development complains that now their view is blocked. But what they forget is that when they put their house there, they block the development before them from their view. So, I mean, there's always some of that takes place where it's it's okay that I did this, but I don't want anyone else to do it. And some of that's what I think I hear when I hear the no growth comments.
In far leftism, there's this basic unreality that we're going to take the earth back to a pristine state before mankind lived here. And that's justice. That'll save everybody.
You know, Kelly, and maybe here I'm a Christian and I believe that the earth was not perfect until after God created man. And, you know, That's what we see in the story of creation. And so I suppose I would disagree with that comment as well, that we need to go back before man. Man was an integral part that God created the earth for.
Genesis mandate, it's called, to God creates man and puts him in the garden. And he says, be fruitful and multiply and tend the earth and subdue it. So, I mean, where would mankind be if no one had ever cut down a tree?
Well, a firewood might be hard to come by, Kelly.
How would you grow anything?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there's got to be a compromise, but I think the far left standards are such that they never want to compromise. And if you do suggest compromise, then you're an evil capitalist, you know. So hopefully we'll get beyond this time of extreme polarization.
I hope so. I hope that we'll, and especially on the county commission, I think we're already seeing that, the desire to come together, encourage some economic development, and be able to move forward. So I'm encouraged. I think we're at a good place. It's very important right now for people to contact their county commissioner, whether it's me or one of the other ones, and let us know how you feel about issues. If the fireworks is an important one, give me a call. Give your commissioner a call. Kelly, my cell phone number is 649-4153. That's 649-4153. And I've also got that posted on my Facebook page. So if someone goes to Benjamin Rawson County Commission District 3, helps if I know what district they represent. It's got my phone number on there as well and other ways to get a hold of me too.
Thanks for all the hard work you do.
I appreciate it, Kelly. Thank you.
Thanks for sponsoring the show.
Absolutely.
Folks, we'll take a break here. Ben Rawson and 719 AM Las Cruces AM 1450, 523 1450 and 805-6180 to text. We'll be back. Thanks for the call. It's Kelly. Who's this?
Yes, sir. Kelly, this is Bob, your friend.
Bob, what's going on?
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
You sound great. You really do.
Hey, Bob. Bob, hold on 1 second. I just suddenly got another call. Let me put you on hold for 1 second.
Yes, sir.
This is Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. This is Miles.
Miles and Miles, what's going on?
I'm calling just informational question, and that is where to get information on what it would take to help sponsor your show.
Holy cow. Hey, give me your phone number. I'll call you after the show.
Okay, it's 644-9814. I'd like to gather the information so I can give it to my boss, and then he can make a decision. So.
Miles, I'll call you back after the show. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye. Bob.
Yes, sir.
Are you calling from the jail?
Yeah, good question. Not anymore, Kelly.
Bob, just kidding. Come on now.
I know that.
So what's going on?
Experience, though.
What's going on?
Well, I just tuned in, and I was wondering, did you all say that there's a trend where in the city of Las Cruces, they're not going to have any more fireworks in the city limits?
I don't know. I mean, we got the expert right here, Ben Rawson.
Okay, well, and because I had a horrible experience at the Mesilla Valley Animal Center trying to foster a cute little dog that they just totally botched. I don't know if they killed it or
hey,
what happened to the dog.
Bob, could I jump in? I'll answer that question.
Bob.
The city has passed
let's,
a safe.
Let's do this on the air.
Okay.
We're just about on the air. Bob, can you handle it?
Yes, sir.
Can you handle the spotlight?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hold on a second.
Thank you.
Oh, folks, we've got Bob. And, Bob, you've been a naughty boy. You haven't called for a while. Where you been?
Apologize. I've been very busy filing lawsuits.
I need that apology in writing. But anyway, you have a question for Ben Rawson.
Yes, sir. Hello, Ben. It's good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, I just tuned in, and I heard something about fireworks. And what my complaint is that everybody that I've talked to, they say that their pets just go into great states of fear because of the fireworks. Now, it's only temporary, but, you know, it does happen. And, you know, we don't like to see it because the animals are just going crazy with all the fireworks going on. Did you see a change in that here in Las Cruces? I know the county's not a problem, but...
Bob, hold on for the answer.
So, Bob, in 2005, the city passed a safe and sane ordinance which outlaws ground audible and aerial fireworks. So... those fireworks are not legal to shoot off within the city limits. The county followed suit in 2007. And so those, again, ground audible and aerial fireworks are not legal to be shot or ignited or whatever the right word is, but they're not allowed to be used within the city of Las Cruces or the county of Doñana. That doesn't mean people don't do it, but I do know the police try to respond to those. And, of course, it's always kind of hard to catch those people that are shooting them off. But it is illegal to shoot those off currently in both the city and the county. And the change that the county is considering would not change that. It would still be illegal to shoot them off in the county. It would just allow people from out of state to purchase them and take them back wherever they're headed.
Hey, Bob, did you mention something about fireworks and animals? Did I mishear you?
Oh, yeah, there's two things. There's two problems on the animals. Everybody that I talk to, they tell me their animals are just going, you know, I mean, they're hiding in their beds, they're going in the closets, they're doing everything they can, because those fireworks really scare them. But, and that's been going on, it's still going on, okay, but after listening to Ben, I think we're making some progress. Another point is, I live about 3 miles north of Mayfield High School on Valley Street, and, you know, there are all kinds of dead skunks, cats. I haven't seen any dogs on the road, and the only people who are getting rid of them are the residents.
Huh.
That is not right. I haven't had a chance to call the agency in the county or anybody that can fix them up, but they don't pick them up.
Well, Bob,
it's disgusting.
Bob, sounds like maybe you should fire up the crock pot.
I don't know. I don't like to cook, so I don't know.
Ben, do you have any thoughts on dead skunks?
Well, you know, Bob, one of the things on Valley there, Valley's a state road, and so it, unfortunately, because of all these jurisdictions, the county doesn't pick up animals on the state road. It has to be a state, and I'm drawing a blank on which department it is that picks those up. But if you wanted to send me a note, I'll make sure to get it to the right individuals.
Well, I can do that if I just know who to contact. But I'll talk to you soon. Another thing is, one more thing is that I had a horrible experience at Mesilla Valley Animal Center, okay? And what happened was that I went to go foster a cute little dog, and they said there was no problem. I just had to go through the application process, and that Dr. Beth would call me within 24 hours. Well, I just kept on calling. A week went by before I was able to go down there and find out what was going on, and the dog just disappeared. And they already knew what dog I was interested in, and I tried to get some answers, and they got very ugly with me, and I did not appreciate it. It was my first bad experience I've had with that place under the direction of Dr. Beth. And I don't know if that place is getting better or worse, no matter what statistics they're coming out with. I know it's improving, but their operation is a disaster.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, Bob. You know, KVIA just did a report, I think it was earlier this week, that they talked about in 2008, more than 10,000 animals were killed each year, put down. And that number has been cut by 75%. So they are making good improvements in trying to keep those animals alive and finding people like you to take them home with you. But, you know, we certainly still have an overpopulation of animals.
Okay. Yes, sir. That's good. The last thing.
Bob, three's the limit. Three's the limit. Call back tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. For God's sakes. And one last thing. I did got a little dedication here for him, though. Bob, I know you're still listening. This is for you. Oops. Hold on a second here. Here we go.
Skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Stinking to high heaven.
All right. So, I mean, I studied this article. It just this article alone, which you could find at National Review and just go online and just Google the title of it, Unpacking the Complexity of Repeal and Replace, Unpacking the Complexity of Repeal and Replace. And you'll find out it is daunting. And I mean, I've got a lot of sympathy. Now, what I think is pathetic, absolutely pathetic, is the left ganging up on Trump and saying we told you so, and Nancy Pelosi, who really is, I think she's close to 80, and I really have never really felt secure in her grasp of reality, but she really seems to be losing it. Says if you have one drop of compassion in your heart, get rid of this replacement plan. It's like, are you joking? If you have one drop of compassion in your heart, why the hell did you bring this thing to you know, why did you give birth to this monster in the first place? But now that it's there and it's on the verge of destroying everything, you got to do something, you know? So the problem is that it is, I'll just sum it up for you here. Very, very difficult, if not impossible, to cancel Obamacare and replace it with something else that is a market system, which is what we need. All right, so I was going to get into this, as opposed to blabbing a lot about Obamacare or Trump care, which is kind of boring. I think it's better to discuss why these type of things are always so misbegotten. And so there was this attempt to bring in Obamacare, and then there were warnings that were put out about it. And then the left went ahead anyway. We got to help the poor. I mean, that's the go-to move, right? Got to help. Let me ask you something. If there was a country that went overnight suddenly socialist, and they went and took all of the people's money and brought it into the government, do you really think that they would break it? They would divvy all the money up and give it to the poor? I mean, there are so many unrealistic aspects of socialism. That's got to be one of the top ones, though. What makes you think that the kind of person who wants total power over everybody would actually be willing to take all the money and just chop it up and hand it out? So what makes people think if there was pure socialism that it would actually be a better form of life? I mean, there might be more suffering. There might be equality in suffering, which is what happens in these countries. But what makes you think that if you took all the money from Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Donald Trump and all these other billionaires and put it in a pile and then redistributed it, what would the country look like in 10 years if you took all of the billionaires' money and put it in a pool and then redistributed it? It would impoverish the country. I mean, I guarantee you that, just because people that have money know how to make money typically, and you make money in business. So what is the problem with socialism? I believe that we need to think about this stuff. It's a recurring desire in human nature to want something for nothing, or to, help the poor, blah, blah, blah. You know, get the rich people to pay the poor people. Robin Hood. But socialism as an economic system does not work, and it cannot work. It can't work because it doesn't take into consideration human nature. Number one, people resent the idea, let alone the practice, of one person works while another person arbitrarily doesn't work and gets paid by the first person. But let's look at socialism in practice to understand what happened to Obamacare. Let's talk about making rent cheaper for the poor, right? I mean, there's got to be a value that, and I'm sure Catholic Church and Protestantism would give two thumbs up to the idea of doing that. But what happens in practice? If you make a law controlling the rent of, say, apartment buildings, what do you think is what they call the unintended consequence of that law? What happens to the business person who's looking for business opportunities to make money for their corporation or their business when they see that there's rent control? Are they going to build apartments? All right, so let's take it down another level. A person is a farmer, and they're thinking about opening a chicken farm. And then they find out that the government has said that you can't sell eggs for more than a penny a piece, right? Which would probably be a popular law. This is something they would do in a place like Venezuela. What would be the outcome of that? What you would do is quickly liquidate the eggs on the market because they would be so cheap, people would come in and buy them. And that would last for a little while. And then eggs would be scarce. Why? because the people that make eggs couldn't make any money on it. So number one, in the interest, the first interest is trying to make a profit. I think the first interest of a business person is whether they can stay in business, which means you make a profit. But the first interest is not getting rich. I think the first interest is can I make it in my business? And then when the business gets established, you start thinking about, well, maybe I can, you know, wouldn't it be great if I could get rich, or I could make, you know, that my family secure, whatever. But the impact, the unintended consequence of socialism in price controls is to wipe out that area. It's ironic. You want everybody to have eggs. You're going to use the government because you're an ignorant person who doesn't understand not just capitalism, but the basic common sense elements of markets. You've got to be able to afford to be in business before you can sell stuff. And if the government passes laws in which it's more expensive to raise chickens and eggs than you can sell them for, you're going to get into another business. So in all of these countries and all these societies where they have socialism, there is massive amounts of scarcity. So what does that do? It creates a black market. So now you've got a black market that is operating underneath the official market, and then you're not taxing it. Because somebody who's already has an illegal business is not going to worry about that. So you've destroyed the market for eggs. If you do go to the black market to get eggs, they're going to be more expensive than they used to be, but at least you can find them. In the real market, they sell out in 5 minutes, and people wait all day long to buy a loaf of bread. So it doesn't work. Now apply that to housing. What you get is sustained underdevelopment of housing in places like San Francisco and New York. So the costs for finding a house skyrocket. So people end up living in their cars, even if they're making $100,000 a year. So that basic application is applied to anything in that market that you could do an economic analysis on. It's the same thing. So you government comes into the marketplace for healthcare, and it decides what's going to be offered and then how much can be charged for it. You've already got red flags going on. So then the healthcare companies decide, well, we've got to either raise. So a lot of these healthcare companies, when they got into Obamacare, lost hundreds of millions or billions of dollars, so they get out of these markets. So then you've got one supplier of healthcare left. Now there's no market forces. The person, in theory, company can charge anything they want. But you bring in something like, you've got to have a real life factors that influence the business. For instance, in healthcare, what is probably the number one thing that a healthcare, like an insurance company, wants to find out is what the risk is on any particular person. If a person's grossly overweight, has smoked for their entire life, has a family that's prone towards cancer, and has some terrible disease to begin with, how expensive is healthcare? If they can get it, it's going to be astronomical. Well, what the Obamacare thing did is wipe out pre-existing conditions. So now, the law of unintended consequences, the only people that are truly motivated to go get health care are people who have found out they're sick. So a person finds out they have cancer, they immediately go sign up for health care, and then the insurance company has possibly millions of dollars in payout for this person who never was interested in care until I got sick. 742 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. Leftism never works. Socialism never works. Marxism, whatever you want to call it, progressivism. It doesn't work, but it's a religion. So in the same way that religions tend to ignore failure, many of them do anyway, like Islam. Look at Islam. How much freedom is in Islam? How many robust societies are built out of Islam? But do they change? No. Socialism is not going to change. It's a religion. 523-1450, 805-6180. We'll be back. And here's my dedication to Bob, of course.
Crossing the highway late last night. He should have looked left and he should have looked right. He didn't see the station wagon car. The skunk got squashed and there you are. You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Stinking to high heaven.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Yes, Kelly, this is Bob. I want to thank you and Ben for making my day.
You're welcome, Bob. I hope the song...
Are you going to make it out to Steve Pierce's on Saturday?
I might be there.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Have a good day. A grandmother, 140-pound tumor removed from 70-year-old lady who thought it was because she had a beer belly, which makes you wonder what her diet is. Senator Grassley accusing law enforcement officials of withholding information in Trump-Russia probe. Spiders eat up to 880 million tons of insects each year. Each year, about 27 million tons of spiders consume somewhere between 440 million and 880 million tons of insects. New research shows. Sounds like an unknowable figure to me. State Senator, Oklahoma State Senator, found in motel with teen boy. And they were not playing... They were not playing poker. Maybe they were playing poker. Here is a news story that I hope you've already had your breakfast. It could make you sick. Hold on. We got a call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show is this.
Hey, good morning. It's Paul.
Paul, what's going on? Thanks for the call. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
I am well, Kelly. And that's what I'm calling about is our social medicine. And I can't help but think that it's called socialized medicine because it's socialism. I don't want people to forget that.
Right.
So, it kind of takes socialism to the next level. That's what I'm seeing. So, not only with socialism are those that are working also providing for themselves, providing for those that aren't, but now I take great pains to not only have a job that provides medical benefits for me and my family, but I also take pains to take care of myself.
Well, that's good.
So, right? I mean, I think that's a responsibility that we all have. So I'm almost 50. I eat kind of right. And I don't abuse my body. I exercise. And my doctors told me I'm one of the healthier patients over the age of 40. So we have people that abuse their body, that don't have their health in mind in their lifestyle. And not only am I paying for my health insurance and my health costs, and my family, but we're paying for theirs too.
Sounds perilous.
So what do we do? You know, I mean, we're a benevolent, compassionate society. We are. We don't want to see anybody go without. But at some point in time, hard decisions have to be made.
Indeed.
If people can't help themselves, it's not necessarily the responsibility of the rest of us to help them.
Good points. Good points, Paul. Thank you very much. I'm running out of time, but really appreciate the call. Good points. Thank you. All right, folks, take care of yourself. Don't pay for other people's stuff. But my beef with people that support socialism goes farther. The people that are in the elite class who judge others and make it their bread and butter to constantly attack people on the right, including the president. These people at the same time, hypercritical individuals, nothing ever satisfies them, fall for the stupidest tricks in history. Socialism is a stupid trick. Nobody should fall for it. It's already failed. I mean, how many times does something have to blow up on the launch pad before you say we have to go back to the drawing board? 7:50 a.m. Las Cruces, a.m. 14:55, 2:3, 14:50. We'll be back to finish her up. And I have some sickening news about Hillary Clinton.
Take a whiff on me, that ain't no rose. Roll up your window and hold your nose. You don't have to look and you don't have to see, 'cause you can feel it in your olfactory. You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road.
All right, so let's see. Let's get to these texts here. Yesterday and today, and we have a phone call. There's always a phone call just about to shatter your tranquility. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Victor.
Victor, good morning to you. Thanks for the call. Hope you're well. What's on your mind?
Good morning. About Paul's call?
Yes.
He made it kind of sound a little insensitive. I think he meant more like we shouldn't help people who don't want to help themselves. They don't want to inspire to help themselves.
Yeah.
We should help people who can really help themselves, handicapped.
Yeah, of course.
People, homeless people. I read a study a while back, a few years ago, that about who donates for conservatives or liberals.
Yeah,
and it was more conservative.
Of course.
You're out of help at hand.
Of course.
And if we have a strong economy, more people can donate.
Yes, so good point. Hey, Victor, like President Reagan said, a rising tide raises all boats.
Exactly. There you go.
Great call. Thanks for the call. Have a good day. Oh, I might have cut him off there, but I want to get to these texts. You can call back tomorrow, Victor. I do apologize. No Muslim nation will take in their displaced Muslim brothers. They want Islam in Europe and the USA. It's part of jihad to grow within like cancer and corrupt principles, laws, values, and culture. It is known as a jihadist tactic. All right, and from today, same guy. Morning, Kelly. Enjoyed your you might be a snowflake recording. Good that you cut it short because each description was like whiplash. All right. Could cause a snowflake meltdown. All right. You so lie. That's from Frankie. Frankie, you're losing it, buddy. Sorry that Trump has upset your apple cart. And yes, we are degrading. This is sometimes these texts go on for years, for pages. Yes, we are degrading. We are becoming less human, aren't we? Here's one for you. My daughter was recently a victim of apartment burglary. She passes the burglar that very day in her complex, and she said he smiled and said hi. She told me a red flag went up because nobody in the complex ever smiles and says hello. Later, he broke into her place, and his image was caught on surveillance camera. The neighbors are getting unfriendlier and the burglars more friendly. I've alienated most of my family and friends because of my bigoted views. It's gotten so bad that I just want to be left alone and mind my own business. If you say something that strikes people as extreme, even a, if I know I'm not, people treat you like you have leprosy. It's hard because I'm a people person. But now if I meet someone new, I won't talk about my take on what's going on. I think I have three people who I can be free to talk to lately. I know the feeling. I do a much better impersonation of Frankie. No nerve to call in with it, though, Abby. Not Abby normal, just Abby. But nothing is below the commie party. I remember how they used to the IRS to attack the Tea Party. All right, so let's see here. Frankie sits in bed all day and cries into his pillow over Trump. Haven't heard from Kathy in a while. I guess it really hurts when you lose. That's the theory anyway. That's the theory of country music as well. And let's see if I've got any more texts in here. Here's an old one. Moonbeams from La La Land. 10 trillion Obama and banksters are laughing at you. That could be John. Or was it Dave? I think David. What Obama is doing is way worse than Russia is being accused of. So anyway, well, enjoyed today's show. Nice to hang out with you for a little while. Had some good calls. Had a call from Bob to complain about the rotting carcasses. Reminds me of The Walking Dead. Bob, you got to get a handle on it. Maybe, Bob, why don't you go around to your neighbors and say, if you pay me a dollar a week, I'll go scoop up those animals. I mean, you know. All right, so the show's on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to go back for a recap. But let's enjoy it. Thanks for tuning in. MLS Cruise is saying 1450, 523, 1450 for tomorrow. And here's a little Bob's dedication to all the people who live out on the county road filled with roadkill.